we are closing out our study in the book of Acts. Hey, has this been great? How great a book is the book of Acts, huh? I love this book. And today what I want to talk to you about is I want to talk to you about one of the toughest things we face in life, and that is reacting, our outlook, our response when somebody, in this case I mean God, changes our plans and takes us in a direction that we weren't planning to go. This is a challenge for all of us to respond in a biblical and Christ-like way. And yet, here in the last chapters of the book of Acts, that's exactly what God did to Paul. Completely scrambled his plans. So we want to talk about that today and then bring that forward and talk about what difference it makes for you and me. So are you ready? All right, here we go. The title of my message is Going to Rome, God's Way. And a little bit of background, in Acts chapter 19, if you remember, the Apostle Paul spent 2 years in Ephesus, and the result, Acts 19:10 says, is that all the Jews and Gentiles who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Now, let me show you a map, and you need to know what the province of Asia is. If you take the modern-day country of Turkey and you put a vertical line right down the middle of it, everything to the left, everything to the west was the Roman province of Turkey. And so, as you can see, all of these churches that are mentioned in the book of Revelation, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, and Colossae, were all started as a result of Paul being in Ephesus these 2 years. Paul saturated the entire province with the gospel. All right, now let's pick up and see what Paul plans to do next. Verse 21. Now, after these things, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, but to go through Macedonia and Achaia. This is Greece. Well, I'll show you a map in a second. On the way. And Paul said, after I have been there, that is to Jerusalem, I must visit Rome also. But he wasn't just going to Rome. Look, he says in Romans 15, writing to the Romans, he says, but now that my work in these regions is finished, in Ephesus, I plan to go to Spain and to visit you in Rome on the way. Now, before Paul goes to Rome and Spain, however, as you heard a moment ago, he had decided to go to Jerusalem, and you might say, why? And I want to let Paul answer that question for himself. Romans 15, verse 25. Now, however, Paul says, I am on my way to Jerusalem in order to serve the believers there. For the churches of Macedonia and Achaia, there's those words again, so let me show you a map. Where's Macedonia and Achaia? Well, if you look, you'll see that it's the very place Paul went on his second missionary journey. It's the cities of Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Corinth, where he started churches, Acts 16, 17, and 18. So he said, I'm going back to these churches that I started. Why? For they have been pleased to collect an offering for the poor believers in Jerusalem. So, after I have completed this task of collecting the offering and made sure that they in Jerusalem have received this gift, I will go to Spain and visit you in Rome on the way. Okay, now let's summarize. What exactly was Paul's plan for the next 3 to 4 years of his life? Okay, here it is. First, number one, he was going to leave Ephesus. Number two, he was going to go back to the churches he established in Greece, Philippi, Thessalonica, etc. Number three, he was going to collect from these Gentile churches this offering for the poor believers in Jerusalem. Number four, he was going to deliver this offering to the church in Jerusalem. Number five, he was going to leave Jerusalem and head off to Spain. And number six, on the way to Spain, he was going to stop at Rome and visit with the believers there. Does everybody see Paul's plan? Okay. Now, Paul's plan was logical. Paul's plan was well thought out. Paul's plan was Christ-honoring. The only problem is that Paul's plan didn't happen, at least not the way Paul had planned it. And let's remind ourselves what did happen. All right, the beginning of Paul's plan went fine. He visited the churches in Greece, he collected the offering from them, and he took it to Jerusalem. So far, so good. But not everybody in Jerusalem was thrilled to see Paul. As a matter of fact, most of the people in Jerusalem hated Paul because of his ministry among the Gentiles. And so the believers in Jerusalem made a suggestion to Paul when he got there. Here it is, Acts 21, verse 21. They said to him, "Our countrymen, Paul, have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from the Old Testament law." That's not true. That is not what Paul was teaching. "They," the Jewish people in Jerusalem, "will certainly hear that you've come to town. So here's what we suggest. We have among us four men who are finishing their Nazirite vow out of the Old Testament. Go with them into the temple and pay the expenses for them to shave their heads." This is what you did at the end of your Nazirite vow. "In this way, everyone in Jerusalem will know that there is no truth in these reports about you, but that you yourself are living in obedience to the Old Testament." So Paul takes their suggestion and goes to the temple with these men, but some unbelieving Jews saw Paul from Greece. They recognized Paul. They saw him in the temple. They incited a massive riot against him in the temple, and only Paul's arrest by the Roman army kept this mob from killing him. And this scrambled, this mob and this riot scrambled all of Paul's plans. You say, how? Well, the Romans, instead of taking him off to Spain, they took him to jail. And they put him in jail in their headquarters, which was in Caesarea. Let me show you a map. It wasn't far from Jerusalem. It was right on the Mediterranean Sea. They threw him in jail. And there he was examined by Felix, the Roman governor of Judea. Felix refused to decide Paul's case, and Felix left him in jail for 2 years there in Caesarea. Then Felix was replaced by a guy named Festus, and when Festus arrived, the Jews said, "Hey, how about sending Paul back up to Jerusalem, and we'll try him up here in Jerusalem?" But we've learned from the Bible, they were really planning to kill him on the way, assassinate him on the way. Paul found this out. He realized he was never getting out of Judea alive with these Jewish people out to get him. So he exercised his right as a Roman citizen, and he appealed his case to the Caesar, to Emperor Nero. And so, bound in chains and under military guard, they sent Paul from Caesarea off to Rome. Now, along the way, he was shipwrecked, Acts chapter 27. He was stranded on the island of Malta for 3 months, Acts chapter 28. He was bitten by this poisonous snake. Ooh, that's the worst part of the whole thing. And when he finally did get to Rome, he was kept under house arrest and chained to a Roman soldier for 2 more years, 24/7, chained to a member of the Praetorian Guard, Caesar's personal bodyguard, while he awaited trial there in Rome before the Caesar. Now, you talk about God scrambling your plans. 5 years went by from the time Paul made his plan till the time he's still in jail here in Rome, and he's never gotten to Spain. God definitely took him to Rome a different way than he was planning to go. Would you agree with that? Okay. Well, this is where the book of Acts ends, and this is where we're going to end our treatment of the book of Acts for today, because it's now time for us to ask our most important question. And you know, unless my successor decides to keep this, then this is what, you know, you're not going to get, there aren't two, I'm going to do a little bit of preaching I'm scheduled to after he comes, but you're not going to get a whole lot more of these. So we need to make this really worthwhile. What do you say? Yeah? Okay. So are you ready? Are you ready? All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hey, that's great. Thank you, guys. That's beautiful. All right. Say, Ceylon, listen. I mean, I understand the story. I got everything you said. I just don't exactly see how it relates to me. Oh, the friend, this relates to you in so many ways, because as followers of Christ, isn't it true that God sometimes changes our plans just like he changed the Apostle Paul's plans? Isn't that true? You say, I don't know. What do you mean? Well, hey, think about it now. Some of us here planned to be married at this point in our life, but we're not. Some of us here planned till death do us part, but then divorce struck our home. Some of us here planned to get that new job or that new promotion, but we didn't. Some of us here planned to be at the same workplace until we actually retired, but now that's not going to happen. Some of us plan to grow old with our mate, but the Lord took them home. Some of us planned to be financially secure at this point in our life, but we're not. Some of us planned to go to a certain college or a certain grad school, but that was before they refused to let us in. Some of us planned to have children running around our home at this point in our life, but we don't have any yet. And some of us who have children planned great futures for those children, but right now they're really struggling emotionally, spiritually, academically. And others of us, God gave us children with disabilities who'll never reach the plans that we dream for them. So the question is, as followers of Christ, what do we do with all of this? And the answer is that we go to the Bible. And we find in the Bible the theological framework we need. We find in the Bible the spiritual truths that we need in order to put all of this into a Christ-centered perspective. So, can we go to the Bible right now for a minute and do that? Okay. All right. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Folks, as followers of Christ, the Bible's telling us in this verse that the path God uses to accomplish his perfect purpose in our lives is often very different from the one that we may have laid out for our lives. And yet, look what the verse says. It says, even when God does it differently than we planned, he is still directing our steps, no matter how much his plan diverges from our plan. God is still in there making sure that we end up at the right place at the right time, always to fulfill God's perfect plan for our life. Do we see that? Now, you know, the Bible's full of examples of this in action. I think of Joseph. Hey, friends, Joseph did not plan for his brothers to sell him into slavery. Joseph did not plan for Potiphar's wife to get a hankering for him, that's what we say in the South, get a hankering for him and have him thrown into jail. Joseph did not plan to spend 13 years in Egyptian jail from age 17 to age 30. But in jail, Joseph learned humility, and he learned servanthood, and he learned kindness, and he learned people skills, and he learned leadership dynamic, all of which God knew Joseph would need in order to fulfill God's ultimate purpose for his life to be prime minister of all of Egypt. And that is why God directed his steps into jail. And how about Moses? Hey, friends, Moses did not plan to spend 40 years in exile in the Sinai desert. But in the desert, he learned who the living God is, so he could trust the living God for the 10 plagues, for the opening of the Red Sea, for the manna, for water from the rock. In the desert, Moses learned how to care for sheep, which was really important since he was going to have to care for 2 million of them out there in the desert before long. And he learned in the desert the ways of the desert, which was important because he was going to be there 40 years taking care of the Israelites. Listen, everything that happened in the desert, God knew Moses would need in order to fulfill God's ultimate purpose for his life, which is why God directed Moses' steps into the desert. And we could talk about David, we could talk about Ruth, we could talk about Esther, we could talk about Jacob, and of course, we can talk about the Apostle Paul. When Paul finally did arrive in Rome, friends, it was 3 years after he planned to get there, and yet look what Paul said from jail in Rome to the Philippian believers. He wrote them and said this, Philippians 1:12, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, Felix and Festus, and being shipped out and shipwrecked and on Malta and bitten by the snake and all this other stuff, all of this has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." You say, well, wait a minute. How's that? Well, think about it, folks. Because of the way God took Paul to Rome. Paul got the chance to share Jesus with two Roman governors, Felix and Festus. Because of the way God took Paul to Rome, he got to share Jesus with King Agrippa, the king of the whole area around the Sea of Galilee at that time, Acts chapter 26. Because of the way God took him to Rome, Paul got to share the gospel with the Roman tribune in Acts chapter 21 and with thousands of unsaved Jewish rioters on the Temple Mount, Acts chapter 22. Because of the way God decided to take Paul to Rome, Paul got to share Christ with the Jewish high priest and the Jewish high council, the Sanhedrin, Acts 23. He got to share Christ with 276 people on the ship, Acts chapter 27. He got to share Christ with the ruler and all the people of Malta, Acts chapter 28. Because of the way God decided to send Paul to Rome, he got to share Christ with the whole Praetorian guard of Caesar, Philippians chapter 1. Now look, when you were going to go before Caesar and you were being held in jail waiting to have your audience with him, you were guarded by the Praetorian Guard. The Praetorian Guard was the most elite unit in the Roman army. They were the personal bodyguard of the Caesar. Google them. And they had the responsibility to be chained to these prisoners. I imagine it was an 8-hour shift, I would guess. So, how would you like to be a Roman soldier? You're a pagan. You are profane, you are violent, you have killed who knows how many people, you don't care about God, and you have to be chained to the Apostle Paul for 8 hours. How would you like that? Do you think you'd hear the gospel? Chained to Paul? You think you'd hear the gospel? Ah, you bet your bottom dollar you'd hear the gospel. And you know, there weren't that many Praetorian guards. Paul was in jail for 2 years, which means they had to rotate through being chained to Paul. Can you imagine in the barracks where one of them looks at the assignment sheet and goes, oh, no, I am chained to Paul today. No, I don't think I can take this. You know, Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 that all the Praetorian guard, all of them, heard about Jesus because of his imprisonment. Isn't that wonderful? All these elite soldiers, he told every one of them about Christ. And I'm sure many of them came to Christ, but he's not done yet. Because of the way God sent Paul to Rome, Philippians chapter 4, when he writes the Philippians, he says, and I quote, all those who belong to Caesar's household greet thee. Well, listen, these are Caesar's wives and their children, their sons, their daughters, their cousins, their servants. And Paul says they greet you. You think they would greet the believers in Philippi if they weren't believers themselves? All these members of the household of the emperor himself had come to Christ because of Paul being there. And finally, because of the way God sent Paul to Rome, Emperor Nero himself heard about Jesus. My point is that none of this would have happened if Paul had gone to Rome Paul's way. Do we see that? Do we see that? All right. Now, true men and women of God understand this principle. They understand why Paul said what he did. He said in Philippians 1:12, I ended up going to Rome God's way instead of my way, but now that I look back, I see that God's way was better than my way. True men and women of God understand this, and they believe this. They believe Isaiah 55, verse 8, for your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And by the way, my plans for your life higher than your plans for your life. Men and women of God believe that. Men and women of God believe that God has a better way of getting us where we need to be, when we need to be there, than we can do for ourselves. They believe that when God decides to scramble their plans and God decides to redirect their steps, that he's doing it for their good, whether they can see how or not. True men and women of God walk by faith. And walking by faith simply means that we trust God even when we don't understand. It means that even when God gives us scrambled eggs, when we were expecting sunny side up, it's all right. If God thinks we need scrambled eggs, then we need scrambled eggs. Amen? Amen. And this is what we're trying to do here at McLean Bible Church. We're trying to make you into a woman of God. We don't just want you to be a believer. That's great. We want you to be a woman of God. And we're trying to make you into men of God. And who are people who understand the Bible and live the Bible and apply the Bible. And one of the key elements of being a man or a woman of God is that we walk by faith. We trust God even if we don't understand what he's doing. Let's bow our heads together, shall we? And I suspect there are many of us here who, because of the fact that God redirected our steps in some way, that we're pretty angry at God, maybe even bitter. Or maybe we're not angry and bitter, maybe we're just confused. And we feel like he's forgotten us, and we feel like he's forsaken us. Folks, as your pastor today, I want to call on you, if you have some of these feelings, to repent of them. And I want to call on you and me to affirm God's leading in our life. Even if we don't understand it, even if we don't like it, even if we don't want it. To affirm that God's ways are higher, that God's plan is higher. To affirm that when He redirects our steps, it's for our good, and we will embrace it without anger. Let's take a moment. And if you need to repent of fighting with God, arguing with God, being angry with God, accusing God, this is the place to do it, right here. Lord Jesus, forgive us for fighting with You, arguing with You, questioning You, resisting You, getting angry at You, becoming bitter at You, because You have directed our steps in a way that we weren't expecting and we don't really want to go. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would help us learn from the life of the Apostle Paul and learn from the life of Moses and from the life of Joseph, that when You redirect our steps, it's because You know they need to be redirected. It's for our own good, and it's to enable us to accomplish Your divine purpose for our life. So Jesus, I pray that You would enable us to be men and women of God who walk by faith, meaning that we trust You even when You do things we don't understand and we don't want. We trust You anyway. Have that victory in our souls today, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.